Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful VBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. And this is your host, Allison, and thank you so much for joining me this evening. And I hope everyone's doing great. And I have a special guest tonight, and I know you're really going to enjoy him, as I really think that he has just wonderful energy. My guest this evening is Paul Quinn, who is an author, teacher, and professional intuitive coach who is passionate, like I am, about helping others gain insight to help them to lead a happier, healthier, and a more purposeful life. He uses the tarot as his tool and is the author of Tarot for Life, Reading the Cards for Everyday Guidance and Growth, and it is just my pleasure to welcome him to the show. So, hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hi, Allison. I'm great, and thanks for having me on your show.
How could I not have you on my show? After witnessing or listening to you on Mike Swager's show, The Enrichment Hour,
that was fun.
Oh, it was fun, and you were brilliant, and I loved your energy. And I just, you know, it was from that I fell in love with you. I was just like, I love this guy. I love everything about him. So, yeah, of course I'm going to bring you on my show.
Oh, shucks.
I know. Okay. So your book is in its second printing. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. It came out last June from Quest Books, and it has taken off, and I'm delighted with that.
I would be, too. Yeah. And you also, you know, besides the fact that you wrote the book, but you also teach workshops. You teach people the tarot itself, but you only do that in the Chicago area? You don't go...
So far I've been teaching in the Chicago area since 2000, and I will be offering my first teleclass in May.
Really?
And dates are yet to be determined, but if people are interested, I'll be posting those dates on my website, which is tarotforlife.net. And yes, this will be a class focused on the tarot and relationships in the cards and the tarot that relate to relationships, whether that's with lovers, family, friends, or others.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I didn't see any upcoming classes on your other website. So I must have missed a website here because I have thespiritedlife.com.
Right. That is my website. It's just that the landing page is tarotforlife.net, which is usually easier for people to remember.
Oh, okay.
But they can get there also at thespiritedlife.com.
All right. Just as long as they know how to get there, that's
right.
And really, people, while you're listening, you know, why don't you hop on over there and check out his website, because, you know, there's a lot of information about the book, his classes. Certainly, he's got a great blog, contact information, all kinds of good stuff there. And so while you're listening to Paul and myself chit-chat here, you're welcome to jump on over and look at his website. The website itself, the link is also on the front page of BBS. If you just go to Visible by Numbers and click on that tab, and you just scroll down, you'll see the event for tonight's show, and the link is right there, and that way you can just link right off from the front page of BBS, all right? All right, so listen, Paul, you know what? I know I'm going to ask you a gazillion questions about tarot, and I'm going to, but I'm really in the mood for some guidance, so I'm asking you, because you're going to be doing some readings for our listeners tonight, and I'm going to be really, really selfish, and I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I'm in the mood for some guidance, so why don't you pull me a card?
Sure.
All right.
Do you have a specific question, Allison, or do you just want
I'm looking for what do I need to know.
Okay. Let's see what's going on here. You know, I've learned over the years that shuffling cards is not the most exciting radio.
I can hum a little bit or sing a little tune while you're shuffling, if you like.
Sure. Well, this is interesting because the card that comes up is temperance, and temperance is not the kind of temperance we automatically assume to be about alcohol and abstaining from.
Right.
But this temperance is about balance, and it's about mixing. It's about incorporating this and that rather than this or that. Mm-hmm. But what's intriguing is that your temperance card is reversed.
Uh-huh.
And when temperance is reversed, it can mean, of course, any number of things. But generally, it is asking you to make a decision.
Uh-uh.
It's asking you to be very clear and not necessarily take into consideration the opinions and views and input from other people,
uh-huh.
which is what temperance upright encourages.
Uh-huh.
That's about really blending all kinds of information and data and ideas, and you have it reversed.
Yes.
So this is about taking a stand.
Mm-hmm.
You can also think of it as being less eager to please, making that less important in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good advice. I can see where I can actually fit that into recent events. That makes sense. I had to giggle a little bit because you may not realize what you did, but at the onset of the show before we came on live and I was telling you I was going to make you pull a card for me and you said that you would hopefully not pull the tower card, right?
Right.
Well, technically, my life path number is the equivalent to the tower card, okay?
Oh, so wow.
I'm just, yeah, so I'm kind of laughing because I'm very familiar with that. So, yeah, so it's kind of funny that you said that because I was like, yeah, well, that's kind of like my favorite card, okay? I'm all
yeah.
about tearing down the walls that prevent you from truly being who you are. I mean, that's how I see it, is building up walls and then having to tear them down.
Great spin on that, Allison, because most people are not nearly as charitable toward that card.
I know.
And for people who don't know the card, and it's different, of course, in every deck, and there are hundreds of tarot decks, but the typical image of the tarot is a tower, and it's got a couple people inside of it, and it is seen burning to the ground, or in some cases a flash of lightning has flipped off the lid and expelled the people.
Right. Well, you'd be interested to know that it has karmic implications in numerology. It's equivalent to the 16, which is karmic, and basically if you hold a 16, especially in a life path position, it means that at some point in your life, you're going to have to begin again. Your whole life gets torn down and you have to begin again. But the blessing in that is building your life on sounder faith and on clearer, you know, better ground than you were previously. It's
mm-hmm.
almost as though you had built up a life around you that prevented you from being your authentic self. And in
mm-hmm.
order to reach that place, you have to tear those walls down.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, I know that it's not the easiest thing to do, but I've experienced that in my life. And so I always, hey, you've got to embrace the lesson and be grateful for what you learned. So I kind of like the tower card, but that's me.
And that, of course, is what every reader strives to do, is when someone pulls the tower card, when the tower card shows up in a spread, oftentimes the client is alarmed, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty harrowing image.
Sure.
And seen symbolically, which is, of course, the only way to look at the tarot,
mm-hmm.
Then our role as readers becomes dispelling the dread and showing people just what you've said, which is how to find the spiritual opportunity in the card.
Exactly.
Rather than cave into the drama.
Exactly. Well, you know, you've got two ways to look at things, with a positive attitude or with a negative attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the blessing in it is what I do. But listen, you know, very early to have a caller, because I actually did want to talk to you about a few more things, but I know I heard a beep, so I'm going to check in and see who's calling in to the show.
Sure.
So do we have a caller online?
Is that you, Allison?
Well, yes, it is. Who's
that? All right. This is Glenda in the southern tip of Maryland, all the way at the end. I'm ready. I'm getting myself together here.
How are you, dear?
And I'm ready for some guidance, too. I'm like you.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to put you to work early, Paul. How'd you like
okay.
to pull a card for Glenda?
Is that Glenda, G-L-E-N-D-A?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Hi, Glenda.
Most people spell it with the I.
Glenda from the southern tip of Maine. Okay.
No,
so
Maryland.
Glenda, I'm sorry, tip of Maryland. Maryland, now I'm calling you Maryland. Glenda, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No problem.
Do you have a particular question, or do you want me to just dig into the cards for you?
I'm pulling myself back together from a backslide, and I'm getting it all together, and it's coming fast, and I'm moving forward, and I would just like to see if there's good progress, like in April, May, June.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to ask what energies support you now and as you move forward.
Thank you.
And we'll see what's coming up here. And so in other words, you've been having your own series of tower experiences, Glenda, that you're coming out of.
Yeah.
And it's a nice thing to come out of them. Okay. All right. Okay. We have the Lover's card.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
And the lovers has a couple different meetings, and the most popular one, and of course the sexiest one, is about, you know, romantic love and great times with significant others. However, there is another element to this, and the Lover's card, when you take away all of the meanings about intimacy, has to do with cooperation, has to do with working with people, and has to do with trust. And this is a higher vibration of relationship. So it is, and it's interesting too, because the Tower card feature, which you did not get, but it sounds like you've had the themes running recently. The Tower features a couple being ejected forcibly from a tower, and it hurts. It's painful. And what I love is seeing the Lovers here for the energy that supports you as you move forward. Because this is really about stripping away defenses and asking for what you need and making it wonderfully beautiful and okay to be human. But this is a card of reaching out, and it's a card of close connection. But above all, it's harmony.
Oh, that sounds perfect and spot on. You can remove the intimacy part, because I'm a reverend and I'm married to the spiritualism. So the intimacy is really not in my goal, but you hit it right on target, because with trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing I have is the trust with my psychic medium power and what I'm getting and bringing it through.
Okay? I love it.
So the trust.
Yes, Glenda, the second card that came up for you, which you've just led into it beautifully, is the Queen of Cups. And the Queen of Cups is the psychic of the tarot. She is the of the court cards, and there are 16 court cards. She is considered the psychic mother of them. And she is the energy of spiritualism, of psychism, of tuning into the element of water, and water esoterically, symbolically.
And I'm a Pisces, I'm a fish.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah, water.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Glenda. There you go. I think that's...
Thank you for an awesome reading. I thank you so much. Thank you, Allison, and thank
Thanks,
you
Thanks, honey.
Well,
thanks
wishing
so
you
much.
Well, Glenda. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, that was a very good reading.
Yeah.
Speaking of psychic, Paul. Okay.
Yes.
I know, according to your site, you use the word intuitive and you use the word clairsentience.
Yes.
So that would indicate that you feel things or you know what direction to go with a card. But you know, I did your numerology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You have a very strong connection to spirit yourself, because, you know, your life path number truly is the medium. It is the connection to spirit. And it there appears to be some, maybe a blockage in the challenges, but I would suspect that you really are extremely psychic yourself. I think intuitive is underinflating it somewhat. Okay, that's just my own personal, you're right.
Well, now that you brought that up, and thank you. But what I've found is that the word psychic usually comes with a lot of expectations for people.
Sure.
And it often has baggage attending it as well.
Okay.
But and not for me necessarily, but for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that when, to use the word psychic, which I tried for a time describing myself, and I just wasn't comfortable, because people assume that that means clairvoyant or clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as we know, is the ability to see you know, images of mm-hmm. what is or what will happen,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or to hear these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never been my case. Where I feel intuitive is that I often will feel called to ask a particular question that surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
And that question is what leads the person to, you know, getting to the gold of that reading.
Right. But how do you hear, how do you know that question? Is it just come into your head or do you hear it?
Yeah. No, I just ask it. It just comes. I don't.
And so when
I
you ask
no
it, do you hear it? Or
I'm not aware of it. I'm not aware of hearing a question before I ask it.
Well, what I mean is when you ask the question, obviously an answer comes. How do you get the answer? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I'm often asking my client.
Oh, okay, got it.
For example, I was giving a reading to a woman, and I had said that I said something about one of the archetypes was in her psychic basement,
mm-hmm.
and that she really needed to excavate and go down there with a flashlight and meet that archetype.
I like that visual.
And this happened to be an archetype connected to some real issues she was facing with her lack of trust in life. And what she said is that her mother had literally locked her in the basement.
I do that all
childhood.
I do that all the time too. Just what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden you use the right word that
right.
is the exact description without even realizing why you said it. It's just there for you.
And then that's the process that I'm describing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And half the time you say stuff and it's psychically, you don't even know why you said it. It just
mm-hmm.
came out of your mouth.
Right.
Like this morning, and I know that we have a caller, but I'll just give you a little example.
Sure.
My sister's going to Las Vegas. And so she was calling, and she was just a little bit hysterical about things. And she said that everybody had these appointments with the spa, and they were going to all these other places. And she was just concerned about what she was going to do with her time because she really didn't want to go to the spas. And I said, well, just take your bag of nickels and go down to the casino and entertain
mm-hmm.
yourself while they're gone. And then she went, oh, my God. And she had had a dream and that night that she went down to the casino with nickels and she won a jackpot. So
mm-hmm.
I had no idea why I said it because I've never
yeah.
been in a casino in my life.
Yeah.
And certainly I don't even know if you can use nickels. You know, that was just the word that I used and
sure.
it was exactly a description of her dream. I had no idea. So
unconscious conduit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have another caller, so I'm going to take my caller. So who's calling, please? Hello?
Don't be shy.
I know I heard a beep.
Hmm.
Do we have
Hello?
Anybody? Hi there. Who's this?
This is Stephanie from New York.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, Allison. How are you?
Good, dear. Do you have a question for Paul?
I'm kind of at one of those crossroads in my life right now, just kind of wondering if Paul could give me some insight as to where I need to go.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Have a look here. Let's cue the music now, just so we have a little filler.
Okay, I'll just, you know, hum a little few bars while he shuffles the cards. La la la.
Stephanie, where are you in New York while I'm shuffling?
I'm just outside of Syracuse, New York. Allison actually did a reading for me several years ago up in Oswego.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what kind of dog do we hear?
You have my Yorkie acting up, but she's... She gets real excited when readings are being done.
Well, that's neat. All right. Well, it's funny because, you know, there are 78 cards in the deck, and we've already seen the Temperance card, which was the card that came up for Allison, and it's come up for you, Stephanie, and it's in the upright position, which I touched on a little bit, but let's talk about these cards. What I've asked here is, what will help you at this time? And in a way, it's kind of where the energy may already be moving. But the card is Temperance, and this really is about blending. Oftentimes when people are at a crossroads, the mindset is all or nothing. You know, I'm going to do this, and I will turn my back on that. Or I'm going to focus on this to the exclusion of all else. And sometimes that helps. Sometimes being single-minded in that way is exactly what we need. But when I see Temperance, and for someone in your situation, this really is about assessing what you do well and what has benefited you, and to blend and mix. And it's not only in the physical world, not only literally blending your talents or looking for new ways to blend your talents, but primarily to do an inventory, which helps your esteem. It helps your sense of who you are by writing down, here are 10 things, 20 things that I am bringing to, whether it's a job or a relationship, things that make you uniquely bring value to the various people and places and things that you touch in life. So, a lovely card of blending and balance. The second card is the Four of Wands, and this is a card of celebration. It's a card of stepping out into the sunshine. It is chiefly a card for not letting fears and doubts get you down. Now, you certainly didn't need a tarot reading to tell you that. That's just basic good psychology.
Yeah.
But this card is a reminder to first of all, this too shall pass. Everything that halts you, that stops you, is temporary. And the Four of Wands is one of the most optimistic cards in the tarot because it really says, focus on what makes you feel good and follow it. And then the last card is the Moon reversed. And this is a nice affirmation, too, because the Moon upright may very well be how you're feeling at the moment. And the Moon is about fluctuation, it's about change, and it's a little scary. When the Moon is reversed, what that really is about is the opposite. It's about a more stable kind of influence. It's about a more grounded way of being in the world. It's things becoming more clear rather than fuzzy and worrisome. So in combination, this is really just a wonderful boost from your spirit to ask you to look at your talents and gifts and blend them. And if you do have either or thinking at this time going on, that might be worth challenging, because I suspect that where your real gifts are is in an amalgam of everything rather than one single thing. And again, that Four of Wands, it's step out in the light and focus on what you do well and what you love and make that louder and stronger and brighter than any fears. And know that the Moon reversed is really where you're heading, which is a more stable experience.
Wow.
Awesome.
That sounds good, Stephanie.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, this too shall pass, everything. Crossroads are not comfortable places to be. And nature hates a vacuum. Nature hates when there's a standstill. So
yeah.
there's already movement. Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm blessed that I have so many different options. It's just kind of I've been trying to do everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not good at the sit and wait and see type attitude either. So this is good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Stephanie. Well, thanks for calling in, sweetie. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right, Paul. Now, from your website, if somebody would want to go to the website, and again, what I have is thespiritedlife.com.
Right.
But you also said there was another way to get there.
Right, the landing page, which directs you to the website, is tarotforlife.net.
Tarot for life.
That's just easier because that's the name of my book.
Okay. And on there, just so that everyone that's listening knows, you can actually arrange to have a private tarot consultation with Paul. And he has a couple of different minutes, 60 minutes or 30 minutes. And
Right. There's
the contact information there. So, personally, I could just listen to your voice. I don't know. I would book the hour one because I could listen to you forever. You could read the phone book and I would be happy because you have a beautiful voice. But
Thank you.
Okay. And also, I know, caller, I heard you and I know that you're there and I'm going to get to you. If you don't mind just listening just for a little bit. Just for a moment, explain to our listeners, like I get a little bit confused because there's the tarot cards, but also there's a lot of people that are out there with oracle decks that
mm-hmm.
don't even resemble tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand divination tools because I use numerology, so I understand what a divination tool is. But in your words, what is the difference between the tarot and the oracle cards that are out? And also, what can a person expect? What kind of issues, what kind of things can you help a person with by doing a tarot consultation?
Okay. Well, let's first talk about the oracle decks. There are many oracle decks on the market now, and how they differ from the tarot is that Oracle decks are not, the tarot is by definition a deck of 78 cards,
mm-hmm.
at least traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And Oracle cards can be 12, it can be 40, any number. And the Oracle decks are distinguished by the fact that they usually have one key word on them. A card will say hope. Another card might say breakthrough, that kind of thing. And
mm-hmm.
so the meanings tend to be singular. You know,
mm-hmm.
you pull the hope card, well, there's not much guesswork or intuition required.
Mm-hmm.
You simply play it, you know, read it as it lays. The tarot is an archetypal system, and with any single card, there can be numerous meanings.
Right.
From the emotional, spiritual, physical, esoteric level, you know, psychological, there's no end to the different dimensions and layers that can be read in any one card. So that's the chief difference.
Okay.
Now, the second question you had was, how can the tarot really help people?
Right. What would a person, if someone was considering getting a tarot consultation with you,
mm-hmm.
what is the nature of the different things that you focus on? What can you help someone with?
Well, I think that people get readings when, like we heard from Stephanie, they're at crossroads,
mm-hmm.
or they keep hitting the same wall.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go back to the tower image again. Or what they're doing isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes people want readings because they really are invested in trying to change a person and they want my help. And of course, what I wind up doing is a little educational piece there that their power is not in changing someone. They really can't do it.
Right.
So we use the tarot instead to find out where is a person's power really and how are they channeling that power.
Mm-hmm.
And are the ways that they're channeling that power ways that support them,
mm-hmm.
or ways that create obstacles?
Sure.
So I see the tarot, Allison, really as a way to become objective about things that we normally are so thick into,
mm-hmm.
and cannot see because we're swimming in it.
Okay.
And when we work with the tarot, we get the big view over the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see what's going on from a more objective and less emotional place. And the beauty of objectivity is that once we see the patterns of our lives, how we're managing our energy, then we have the option to choose otherwise.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a good answer. That's a great answer. And I guess I better get to my callers, so I'm going to check in and see who's calling, please.
Hi, this is Kim.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well, my dear. You have a question for Paul?
I do. I'm calling. I'd like to know. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Kim.
This is a relationship question. I have a good friend who is a male. I'm married and interesting relationship. Kind of wondering.
Kim, I'm sorry. Did you say that he is unmarried or that he's married?
No. We're both married.
But not to each other?
Right.
Okay. All right, important distinction. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. I think it's a karmic thing.
Well, quite possibly. And what's your question about this relationship?
Exactly. What is it about?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well,
I'll tell you what. If you'd like to do this, this is kind of high-stakes tarot. A question, and yours is not an unusual question, because I've done many readings for people who really want to know what energy should they bring to the relationship in question. And when I say should, by the way, what I mean is from a higher self perspective, and I make no judgments. Sometimes the higher self, and with that I mean, you know, a soul-level choice is all for what others might call an illicit relationship. And sometimes it's firmly against, and sometimes it's saying, play, but don't commit. So
mm-hmm.
I just felt it important to kind of frame that. So when I say higher self or spirit, you know what I'm talking about. So
right.
Are you comfortable with the question? What does the relationship need at this time? Okay.
Right.
Let's take a look. I think maybe a drum roll would be appropriate here.
Okay, drum roll.
Okay. One more moment.
That's okay. Take your time, Paul.
Okay. And where are you calling from, Kim?
Actually, I'm out in Washington State. I'm in a little town called Puyallup, right out of Seattle.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, here's what we got. I'm sorry, I'm pulling one more card. All right. You've got the Hermit here, Kim, and the Hermit is reversed. And my cue in for the Hermit upright is about a very intense focus, almost similar to the Magician in the Tarot. The Hermit is on a quest to really learn what is this about. And with the Hermit reversed, it's almost like answering the question you called with, which is, don't ask. If it's karmic, you know, it might be, but that really doesn't help you now, because this is about what do you do with this relationship at this time. And the Hermit reversed is really saying, don't give it too much serious energy. Because upright, that Hermit is very, very intense about learning as much as he or she can about the situation. When it's reversed, it's like, no, probably a waste of time. The other thing is you've got the Two of Wands, and the Two of Wands in the deck that I'm looking at features a guy who's at the top of it's kind of a tower, and he's looking out across the ocean, and there's a sense of restlessness. So this, too, is not a card of commitment, per se. What it is a card of is keep looking or keep your eye on the big picture. Neither of these cards necessarily support, say, pursuing this relationship in a way. And the other card that's come up is the Five of Pentacles. And the Five of Pentacles is a card that shows two people out in the cold, and there's a sense of impoverishment. Now, all this to say that these are three cards that are simply saying, that are not judging the attraction that you have or anything that you even might have acted on. But what we're talking about is what further or additional energies to bring to the relationship. And all three are kind of saying, nah.
Well, there you go.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Okay,
sure.
Kim?
I hope that helps or clarifies.
Oh, it did. It cleared up a lot of things. It was very good. Right on.
Good.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Allison.
Okay, honey, thanks for calling in.
Talk to you soon.
All right. You know, it's really interesting. I want to go back with you, Paul, to what you were saying prior to doing Kim's reading,
mm-hmm.
When you did your precursor to it. And you were talking about what the higher self, you know, the involvement of the higher self in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
and that there's no judgment. And, you know, one of the things that numerology really has sincerely taught me is about judgment and not having any judgment in what decisions people make in their lives, even
mm-hmm.
if something that could come to, like, an attraction or something that could even lead to an attraction, you know, even with someone that's married or whatever the case might be. Because when you look at the energy that actually comes into charts at a particular time, sometimes there's almost a conspiracy of energy that can actually create
mm-hmm.
The experience and even influence energetically how we feel mentally and actually influence our decisions
mm-hmm.
to the point that you almost have to believe that if everything happens for a reason in our lives, because whether it's adversity or whether it's the most beautiful things in life, they all help us to grow and to evolve and to change and to gain wisdom. If everything happens for a reason, including mm-hmm. such things as is perhaps a relationship that, you know, most people wouldn't sanction, that, you know, when the chart is literally dictating it, that there's no other course of action, it would be almost impossible to turn away from it, then one has to assume that the soul wrote that experience for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And using an example with a client that I was reading for, and literally the way that I was seeing the energy all at once at this particular time of her life, and I finally came out and said, all right, this is what I have to ask you. I believe, and I said, I'm going to tell you what this energy says to me. It says that you attracted someone, possibly having an affair. You kept it a secret, but you ended it. And I said, would this be a fair thing to say? And I think at that moment, I think she almost fell off her chair. And then she said, yes. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, well, you just have all this energy all at once sitting in your chart. And I said, I think it would be impossible to decide to do something else. And she said that, I think what was beautiful about it was the outcome, which was inevitably how this particular experience, what it taught her soul. And she said that, you know, in the grass is always greener scenario, or thinking that this person's more romantic, that relationship would be better or whatever. Well, instead, what she learned was how incredibly valuable her family was, how much she truly did love and appreciate her husband. And that relationship, she was taking things for granted. She wasn't grateful. She wasn't putting enough effort into it. And the whole incident actually taught her to turn around, take a good long hard look at her life and embrace it and be happy and joyous, mm-hmm. as opposed to thinking that the grass is always greener. So in the long run, it was something that actually was very important for her to learn, albeit what most people would have judgment upon, saying, well, my God, look what you did. But really what she did was help herself. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. And well, so, I think that is the first step, or one of the first steps to being a reader, which is just being aware of our biases,
right.
being aware of our judgments. And,
right.
You know, we have to really shine the light in that basement and see what are my attitudes about affairs,
right.
or about, you know, any number of things.
Well, things like drug addictions or
mm-hmm.
whatever the case might be, if the soul chose it, mm-hmm. far be it for us to judge, because we don't know the journey of the soul. We can't judge each other, you know, whether it's through, under any circumstances, judging, because we don't know the journey that soul has written. We don't understand
mm-hmm.
what that soul set about to accomplish in this lifetime, nor the method of accomplishment, of how it's going to grow in wisdom and whatever the case might be. And I think that numerology has taught me about not having any judgment, but just acceptance, you know, and just looking at the charts and embracing. To me, I'm always honoring the soul, because it's an amazing thing, the things that people choose,
mm-hmm.
When it's so strongly written into their charts. I mean, that's the one thing that numerology has taught me. I'm sure that tarot has taught you a thing or two, you know, as far as your own consciousness and how you see things.
Well, yes, and the other half of that is it's not only about not judging other people that we're giving readings for, but it is about not judging ourselves, and that may be more difficult for a lot of people. In the classes that I teach, oftentimes the students just automatically, when they see certain cards, they'll say, oh, this is telling me I'm bad about this, or that I need to do this more, or I shouldn't do that, and all you really hear it is the should, shouldn't. You know, the almost punitive attitudes,
mm-hmm.
and if nothing else, if the students leave with no other understandings about the tarot, it is that the cards do not judge,
exactly,
and neither should we.
Exactly,
and there is no energy in the universe that is eager to shame us. That is, you know, I should say, cosmic energy that is here to make sure that we feel proper bad about ourselves.
Right.
So the tarot can be a way to simply notice, and in the noticing is the lack of judging,
right.
and simply seeing all behavior as energy. And the other wonderful thing about human beings is that really even some of the most despicable behaviors that we see
mm-hmm.
are motivated in some way. You know, you can almost say that the person earned that behavior by virtue of what they've experienced or their mm-hmm. worldview.
Sure.
To them, it's justified in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
I think when I see someone that you know, even with the most despicable behavior, oftentimes I see them as being teachers, because there's energy. There's certain numbers that part of the goal is to learn forgiveness. Well, when you think of forgiveness, the only way you can forgive is if somebody hurts you, because you can't. If everything goes hunky dory all your life, what's to forgive? So it is in adversity, it's in those difficult relationships
mm-hmm.
where that person actually was placed into your life for a reason, to create the circumstances so that you learn how to forgive or you learn unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Some numbers, that part of the goal of that particular energy in this lifetime is to learn unconditional love. Well, it's easy to love charming people. I'm sure you're very lovable, Paul. But there are people that are extremely difficult to love, that try your patience, that at every turn they're impossible. And that's where unconditional love comes in, and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just see it, you know, on so many levels, you know.
Well, Allison, speaking of different levels, I mean, we had your temperance card come up earlier,
mm-hmm.
and that is the card of alchemy. It is the card of taking the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And even beyond that, it's the card of getting beyond good, bad as differentiators,
mm-hmm.
and just accepting ourselves and the whole of life as this mixture. And it is our shattering experiences and our top of the mountain revelations. It's the wonderful and the horrendous combined that make us extraordinary.
Exactly.
And we can't say no to, we can't, I mean, much as we'd love to be able to say, I'm not going to put checks next to the boxes that have pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. But it's those things, is it not, that teaches us compassion as well?
Exactly. Because I wouldn't, if I go back, and compassion is born from needing compassion,
mm-hmm.
from being in a place of needing to be understood or having pain and have somebody reach out to help you. Or maybe even in the loneliness of not having anyone help you. And so it's from that place that somehow when you've been there, done that, and earned that T-shirt, as you move through life, when you see someone in need or someone less fortunate or someone in pain, you're more apt to reach out and try to help them because you've been there and you know what it feels like. And so in those experiences, they help to make you the compassionate being that you turned out to be. So
mm-hmm.
you have to look back and thank the universe, God, and the people involved with that lesson to help you to be the person. Because some of the greatest healers in the world are wounded healers. They at some point in their life have had extreme difficult circumstances to
right.
give them that compassion
yeah.
so that they understand and reach out to help others. So I think it's all, I think the, you know, it's just amazing. All of it's amazing to me. I'm always in awe of
mm-hmm.
souls in general and why they came. But,
and what a wonderful way to approach the work. You know, to be in awe.
I'm in awe.
Yeah.
Sometimes I cry when I see people's charts. And when I get
yeah.
done with a reading, I'm literally in tears because I honor that soul. I honor that person for what they've chosen in this lifetime and the great achievements. I mean,
mm-hmm.
to me, I'm in awe of the courage of our souls and in awe of the divine plan and what some souls seek to accomplish in their lifetimes. I'm just... amazing.
The same thing with the cards, particularly with difficult readings where people, you know, where it's really surfacing a life story of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
As I often am, I feel the call to just stop for a bit and just have those cards on the table after we've discussed them and ask the person to look at those cards kind of like pictures in their own storybook.
Sure.
And ask if they can feel the admiration for that character on the table. In other words, themselves.
Right.
And all of those prickly points, you know, those trials, those challenges, and mistakes, stupid mistakes, can they look back and admire the person who made those choices
mm-hmm.
and forgive them their humanness?
Mm-hmm.
And often that's what pulls out the Kleenex.
it's
those moments where people get to see themselves as if they love themselves.
Right.
And that, if you know, that to me is healing.
Right. It's unconditional
helping
love
people to
yeah.
to love themselves and to feel accurately heard and seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I think that you, like I say, yeah, I think you have a passion for your tool as I do for mine, and I think that you and I see things very much very similar. And I think that, like I say, I'm sure that your tool has taught you just as mine has taught me. And, you know, it's just, that's what, as soon as I heard you and as soon as I, you know, we got on the other show and we were talking and I was listening to you, I just so resonated to you. And so,
no,
I knew you would be. Yeah,
sure.
Very cool. I do want to point out that you've, one of the things from your website, I know we had talked about this before in the manner in which you teach, and Sonia Choquette made a comment about you that you teach people to channel the cards, and we talked about your style of teaching. Do you want to take a moment and just talk about that for a moment?
Sure, and the class changes with every class that I have, which is exciting because it's based on who's in the room.
Sure.
I find that an off-the-shelf approach just doesn't work. It has to be tailored in the moment, often, to who's there and how they want to use the cards and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is the greatest fun and excitement in the classroom is that it's about integrating these archetypes, taking these pictures of funny people in medieval tights and figuring out how they apply to this person now in ways that are compelling and resonant.
Sure.
And one of the ways that I found to do that is to, I've created a series of questions for many of the cards that ask the person who's got the question to relate that card and the archetypal meanings to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like the tarot, these questions are randomly pulled from a basket.
Uh-huh.
And so already people are getting the questions that are tailored for them.
Uh-huh.
And people who thought that this would be a purely intellectual exercise find that, oh my gosh, I can't learn the tarot without learning about myself in the process.
Right.
So that's the fun of it.
Right. What I do, and so this is kind of like the same thing, which I thought was really interesting, is when I take on a class, I usually limit it to not a lot of people, but I have them pick in their life four people that they know very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I supply everyone with their own personal chart plus the charts of four people they know very well. And so as you in the numbers are archetypes as well. So as you begin to discuss the energy of any particular number and they have someone in their life that possesses that number, then part of the class is give me examples of how that person exhibits that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how a one, which would be somebody that has out of the box thinking, someone very creative, very much an individual, somebody that's a little bit strong-willed. How does that one in your life exhibit that behavior? And it's amazing to me how it clicks, because when you can feel that energy in another person, recognize it in another person, see how it's demonstrated in everyday life in that person, then that helps you to retain the knowledge of that particular energy. You will never forget what a one means.
From a previous experience that you and I had, Allison, you were talking about how you really do feel the numbers, and
exactly,
that you have always had this sense connection to the numbers where you feel a four, you
mm-hmm.
feel a three, and that really, again, it takes you beyond a purely intellectual approach to your art. And the same thing with the tarot, because once a person feels the magician or the high priestess within themselves, and sometimes that's achieved by mirroring the stance or the posture of those cards,
uh-huh,
then they're integrating it, and now it's in them.
Sure.
And it can be very powerful the way that we begin to feel something that normally would be a purely intellectual construct. But
right.
And once it's in our bones, we're really able to go places.
Right, exactly. So I think that makes us unique and very much alike, you know, and how our approach to how we teach. I thought that was pretty interesting. But I know that I heard another beep, which means we have another caller, so I'm going to check in and see who's calling. So who's calling, please? Hello?
Hello? Hello, hello?
Hi, who's calling?
It's Nathaniel from California.
Hi, Nathaniel.
I'm born May 1st, 1957.
Okay, we're doing tarot readings with Paul Quinn. So if you want to direct a question to Paul, he'll do a tarot reading for you, Nathaniel.
Okay.
Hi, Nathaniel.
You know, I'm kind of trying to move and fix up a house and stuff. I thought one of the cards will say.
Well, let me see if we can get something juicier.
Okay.
Primarily the difference, Nathaniel, is that I don't use the cards typically for prediction, to say how things will turn out. And by the way, I suspect that, you know, your house will take shape in its own way and time, and that there's not a real issue there. But I'm sorry?
A lot of people have already said so, I think. I've called around.
Yeah. So where I find the cards are much more potent is when that there's a question that's really rattling our cage, you know, something that we have something invested in, something that's kind of more highly charged, if you will.
I'd really like to play some music. I'm thinking about getting some guitars and instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I was going down to Buffalo Brothers in California, Southern California. There's only one, but they'll give you trade-in value on any guitar you buy there if you want to upgrade, full trade-in value. Pretty outrageous.
What? I'm sorry, were you saying that, what about the trade-in value?
I'm sorry.
Were you saying that you want to play or that you want to sell?
No. Well, it's a good deal to buy if you could be able to trade up, you know, so you'll be able to trade up for it.
Okay.
Daniel, we're getting...
I bought a $1,000 guitar, and I went back, and they said they'd only give me $200 for it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's not a good deal, and we don't need cards to tell us that.
No, we don't. We don't.
That's just a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, are you a musician, Nathaniel?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So do you want maybe a reading on your career or...
No, that would be even better. That would be even juicier.
Okay. And it's juicy that we like.
Okay. And so, I'm going to interrupt just for a second to tell you, Paul, that we've got 2 minutes towards the end of the show, so I know that it's kind of hard to get that in quick. Can you get it in?
We've got, here's three cards right now, and we'll let this be our last reading. Okay, Nathaniel, this is regarding you starting up your music, being more active as a musician. We've got the Page of Pentacles. All the pages are about beginners, and this one is particularly eager to do something practical, something that either earns money or can at least have an audience. On the opposite side of that, you've got the Fool, and the Fool is facing the page, which is lovely. The Fool energy is about taking risks. It's about following, not really with a huge sense of agenda or importance, but just sort of going where your heart takes you with a sense of playfulness and lightness, which is lovely. And the very center card is the Five of Wands reversed. Upright, that card's about creative struggle with other musicians, friends, what have you. Reversed, it's about a calming of that. It's about working much more cooperatively. So just to summarize, this is anything with these cards together is a very nice and gentle thumbs up from universe that this would certainly be a worthwhile path.
Okay, Nathaniel, I'm sorry, sweetie, but we got to go.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Paul, it's amazing how quickly 55 minutes can go when you have such a great guest. So I can't thank you enough for
it's
joining us this evening. Once again, give everyone your website.
Sure. You can find me at thespiritedlife.com, or you can go to tarotforlife.net, and that will take you back to my website.
Okay, and I really highly recommend that for those of you out there looking for some insight and guidance, give Paul a call, because I think you're fabulous.
Well,
and thank you so much for joining me this evening, okay? Come back and see me again, will you?
Will do.
All right, thank you, sweetie.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. And everyone, next week we've got Chuck Bergman coming on the show, and so we're actually going to do a night of numerology and the medium, so that should be pretty interesting. So mark next week on your calendars, and I'll be back then. And in the meantime, I wish you all abundant blessings. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.